This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, November 6, 2019. I am the Solemn Monster, and tonight, as I was saying a moment ago, we drink, for those of you who do drink, to 12 years of the Sound Off. So if you've got a little bit of the bubbly, or even if you've got a stiff Jack and Coke like I do here, I don't know if you can hear it, but I do, not much left, but I've got something here. Or if you're smart and you don't drink at all and put this poison into your body, and if you don't, good for you. Pour a glass of freshly squeezed OJ and celebrate with me tonight 12 years to the day. That is what today is, 12 years to the day of the very first episode of the Solemn Monster Sounds Off. It dropped. It was a Tuesday podcast. It was the day after Monday Night Raw. It was the episode of Raw where Stone Cold Steve Austin drove a beer truck out. Not the infamous, or I guess it wouldn't be infamous, but the famous beer truck segment with The Rock. This was the second beer truck, the recreation of the beer truck. Him and Santino Marella and Maria Kanellis doused in beer. And I felt compelled to go and record my very first show the next day for SEScoops.com. And that was where it all began. In fact, I think that first episode was about seven and a half minutes long compared to what the episodes are now. About 7.5 hours long, it feels like. So kind of a big change from 12 years ago. But thank you to everybody who has stuck with me for that long. We have a lot of people listening who have been here since day one. I think that is kick-ass. I appreciate the hell out of each and every one of you. We're also trying something tonight, which I am doing for the first time, so I don't know if it's going to work or not. Well, you probably see it on your screen right now. We actually have we have our first subscribers, and we have a whole bunch of donations coming in, and that was what I was going to mention. I have special alerts set up tonight, not only for new subscribers, so you'll see your name pop up on the screen if you sub to the channel. If you are not already subbed to the channel, and if you're not, I don't know why you're not. But those people who donate Super Chats are open. Not only will you see them and be acknowledged on screen, there are some special donations that I have set up. And you can see in the description down below what those donations are. So the dollar amounts correspond with special donations. If everything is working properly, if everything is working the way it should, you should see them. You should hear some of them, the bigger ones anyway. Those will be popping up most likely throughout the evening here. And there is a special $12 anniversary donation for those who want to make a $12 super chat. So that's in there as well. Again, just check the description down below for all of that. And this is Dynamite, as I was mentioning, tonight from Charlotte, North Carolina. They were at the Bojangles Coliseum. And I don't know how many people they had there tonight. I didn't look up what the attendance was. I don't know if there were empty sections. All I know is they were at the Bojangles Coliseum, and this place was loud all night long. This was like a dream crowd. This is exactly the kind of crowd you want to have for a wrestling show. This is the kind of crowd they should hope to have in Baltimore this Saturday for the pay-per-view. These people were up all night long, which was pretty cool. The poll is open on Twitter, at Solemonster, for those who wish to vote. Hop on over there, at Solemonster. Thumbs up, thumbs down. I want to know what you thought of the show tonight. We're going to flash the results a little bit later on, as we always do. And again, as I mentioned, if you sub to the channel, please do so if you're not already subbed. Super chats are open. Let's get into it here. Show opened with Pac against Trent Beretta of the Best Friends. And I thought this was a good match. I mean, we may as well just skip to the ending here, because that really was the weirdest part of this match. So these two are having a pretty good match. Crowd is hot. You know, as I was Fight saying me. Before, the crowd is really Fight up. Me. Crowd is really hot. Fight me. And then Pac goes to the top Fight rope. Me. And before that, he had actually hit a brainbuster on the floor to Trent, killed this poor guy, dropped him right on the back of his head, back of his neck, rolls him into the ring. Pac goes up to the top rope, and he hits the Black Arrow. And the thing I love about the Black Arrow is the fact, and again, guys, as you see look things flash on screen, I'm not hearing anything, so that could be a problem. So if you are hearing the alerts, let me know. At least I know you're hearing them, because any alerts popping up on the screen, I'm not hearing a damn thing right now. So in the chat, you guys will let me know if you hear the super chats and the alerts that are popping up. But Pac is on the top rope, and he hits the Black Arrow. Now, in WWE, I will say this about what they, how they treated Pac, how they treated Neville. They did a pretty damn good job, all things considered, of protecting his finish. They protected that Red Arrow like it was a special move, and I thought that was actually great because it really is. It's a very cool move. People shouldn't be kicking out of it. And so the hope here is that in AEW, they would protect the move all the same. So he hits the Black Arrow. And I figure, well, that's it. Match is over. And the referee, Bryce Remsburg, counts one. The referee counts two. And then all of a sudden, he holds up the count. There's no shoulder up. There's no kick out. Nothing like that. He just stops counting. And I said, well, that's weird. That's very bizarre. And I went back and I watched it just to see exactly what happened. You know, was it a case where maybe Pac pulled him up? Maybe he did the heel thing where he's like, I don't know. I have the match won, but I'm going to pull him up. No, referee just stopped counting. And it looked really bad. And look, in this situation, let's say Trent was supposed to kick out. Which I don't think he was, but let's say Trent was supposed to kick out. In a situation like this, if you're the referee, you gotta count the fall. You gotta count. You can't stop and look like an idiot. But anyway, shit happens. It looked really bad, and Pac transitioned into the Rings of Saturn finish that he's been using as a submission. He's beaten Hangman Page before with this move. It's a great way to get the submission over. Maybe that was the goal from the start, but this whole thing with the referee not counting, it looked really bad. It was a ref botch. And so that kind of stifled the finish there a little bit. And Pac did not look very happy about this either. But then again, Pac never looks happy. He's always got this look on his face like he just smelled 5-year-old cheese sitting in the corner of the room. So it's hard to say whether or not it was a case where there was a botch that he was angry about, or if he was just being a bastard. Then we move on to Cody. And I put a pause on the alerts because apparently I'm not hearing them. I've got to try to address that. You guys are seeing them, which is great. But I need to know when they're flashing so I can acknowledge them. So I put a pause on that. We'll get back to that in a second. Keep donating. We'll flash them. I promise they'll pop up on screen. Cody. Last week, Cody was promoting a special announcement that he was going to make, and he was, actually it might have been 2 weeks ago, but he was interrupted. He was interrupted by Jericho, he was interrupted by the Inner Circle. He never got to make his big announcement. So tonight, he was back in the ring with Tony Schiavone, and he was going to make a major announcement. And Cody was talking about AEW and this whole revolution and this whole movement and what a great thing AEW is, and I thought he had this great line in here where he said, AEW is like Ellis Island for professional wrestlers. He goes, this is freedom. Sounded like, what was the guy from Braveheart? Mel Gibson. Only he didn't use the accent. But he's talking about freedom. But I thought that was a great line. So then Cody is talking about, he's writing down the names of the great bookers and the great wrestling promoters in the past. He mentions Bill Watts. Of course, he mentions his father. He mentions the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And he talks about them being great in the ring, but there was controversy because they were also management, right? Dusty was not just a booker, he was also a wrestler. And so whenever that happens, it creates tension because there's a conflict of interest there. You're booking, you have a position of power, you're an executive in the company. Cody's already been getting flack for this since AEW started from day one. Oh, he's an executive vice president. He's putting himself over. He's the Triple H of AEW. So they were kind of acknowledging that here in this promo. He says, the problem with these promoters of the past and these bookers of the past is that they also had executive roles in their companies. And he hears the criticisms and he recognizes it. And so he said, if he loses to Chris Jericho on Saturday at Full Gear, if he does not beat Chris Jericho. He will never again be allowed to challenge for the AEW World title. I thought he was going to say something along the lines of, I am hereby relinquishing my position as the executive VP, which of course would just be kayfabe, but I thought that's where they were going with this, and they didn't. Instead, he said, if I didn't win the championship. He just said, if I don't beat Chris Jericho, then I will never again get another shot at the title. And he talked about how Jericho, you know, you called me an entitled millennial bitch. And he was mocking Jericho's first book, A Lion's Tale. He said, you can get it for $3 right now on Amazon. Which, I don't know if that's true. If anybody's listening live in the chat, go to Amazon and check that out. I'm curious if Jericho's first book is that cheap. But he said, you can get it for $3 on Amazon. You can pick it up at flea markets all over the country, which is probably true. And he called him a stupid dick. Which I think that might be the first time I have heard that insult used on television, at least for a major promotion, calling somebody a stupid dick. It's kind of to the point. Said Jericho needs this generation more than it needs him. He's busted his ass. I mean, Cody was getting fired up here in this promo. He said, you know, I busted my ass to go from undesirable to what I am today. And if I win at Full Gear and the Elite is going to meet the Inner Circle, they're going to eat them alive. I know Cody gets a lot of flack. Again, I've talked about Cody being a very polarizing figure before. I mean, he's not John Cena, but he's got people who love him, and he's got people who absolutely hate him. Which, you know, it's very obvious if you just go online and ask people what their opinion is of Cody. I will say this, Cody is a very good promo. And this was a great promo. This was a great babyface promo going into the championship match at their pay-per-view this weekend. I thought this was great. Now, I'm going to do my Full Gear predictions later. I already did them on Sunday. There's a video up on the channel right now. But there's been a match or two added. And for those who may have missed it, I will very quickly run through my Full Gear predictions later. But even with this added stipulation, and you would think, you know, hearing a stipulation like that, well, this is a dead giveaway that Cody is going to win. I don't think so. I'm going to stick with my original prediction, which is Jericho retaining the championship here in this match. You know what this is? This is the Tim Storm story. Anybody who's been watching NWA? How many people in the chat have been watching NWA Power? We're 5 episodes deep. I'm still following it. I'm still liking it. I'll have my review on Sunday. This is the Tim Storm story from NWA Power. That's what this is. Tim Storm lost to Nick Aldis under the stipulation, the proviso, call it whatever you want, that if he did not win the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship, he would never again get another shot at the title. Well, guess what? He lost. And so by virtue of the stipulation, Tim Storm is not supposed to ever again get a shot at the championship. Clearly, though, if you follow week to week, they're doing some kind of long-term story with Tim Storm, who is one of the best babyface characters in all of wrestling. Whatever you may think of the NWA, some people like it, some people don't. You know, what they have done, and yes, I see a lot of Camille comments in the chat. Camille, hey, Camille is maybe, you know, the only reason you need to watch NWA Power. But this is the Tim Storm story. And think of the heat. If MJF, as I still believe, and we saw him tonight sticking up for Cody, he's been there through thick and thin. Think of the heat if MJF costs Cody the match, especially with that stipulation. It's too good to be true. But there is another interesting point here to make. Even though I'm sticking with my prediction, I do think Jericho's going to retain. Chris Jericho is wrestling Hiroshi Tanahashi at Wrestle Kingdom on January 5th. That's night 2 at the Tokyo Dome. And there is bad blood right now between AEW and New Japan. Or, at the very least, the relationship. There is no relationship. It is ice cold between the two promotions. I don't know exactly why, but things seem very, very strained. And very, very unlikely that they're going to be working together anytime soon. Now, Jericho's allowed to go out and make whatever deal he wants to make with New Japan. The question is, with no AEW pay-per-views between Full Gear and Wrestle Kingdom, would AEW want to keep their world championship on a guy who's most likely going to walk into the New Japan show on January 5th and lose? Are things that bad that they feel we got to get the title off this guy. We can't have our champion. He's our world champion. He's going to walk into the New Japan show and lose to Tanahashi? So that's the one thing that has me thinking, you know, maybe they might switch the title to Cody, but I don't see it. And I do think it would be way too soon to do it. So I'm sticking with Cody. I think he's going to lose. And I think there's going to be this long storyline, this long story arc that they're building for him. And of course, eventually he's going to win. Believe me, he can lose on Saturday. He will be the champion at some point. It's wrestling. They'll come up with some bullshit explanation. Or he'll win some kind of battle royal or tournament or gauntlet or something. And eventually he'll get his moment. But I don't think it's going to be this weekend. Let me just real quick here, unpause the alerts and take a look. We've got some other alerts coming in.
Fight me.
That's all we hear from this guy every week.
Fight me.
Why can't I hear these?
He wakes up in a cold sweat. Fight me.
Again, the Super Chat donations are down below. For those of you who wish to donate, they are popping up. I do see them. I'm just trying to fix this so I can hear them as well. Just like all of you guys. I love seeing, you know, I found that Ric Flair image of him, whatever the hell he's doing. I don't even remember what segment that was from. Do you? Who remembers what that was from? Ric Flair doing that pose. I love seeing that. Every time we get a new subscriber now, we're going to see Ric Flair doing that. We're going to see Ric Flair basically miming a sex act here on screen, which is a great image for people to, when they put their head down on the pillow tonight, if that's the lasting image that you have, what a wonderful image that is. Seeing the Nature Boy. Oh my goodness. There he is again. John Pineda, thank you very much. I see the $12 super chat from earlier. Jose Inoa won with a $5 super chat as well. These are going by real quick, so I'm not reading all of them, but I do want to acknowledge some of the people. This is the 12-year anniversary of the show, so we may be getting more of these than usual, so I just want to make sure everybody gets their just due here on the live stream. And just going through some, man, we got a whole bunch of these. Holy cow. Brad Cunningham, $1.99. Congrats on the dozen. Appreciate all of it. Well, I appreciate your support. So thank you to Brad. Crash, he super chatted $2. So thank you to him. Kinginator and Z super chatted $5 a little bit earlier on. Must See TV, you rock, my man. Well, you rock too. You rock too. Canadian, dropping $5 Canadian on me here. All right. Well, I'm waiting for more of these to come through, because I'm just adjusting some of the settings to see if I could hear these in my ear. Let me see here. Hold on a second. The joys of live streaming. There's Vader. Somebody sent me a clip earlier of Vader from Boy Meets World. I hadn't seen that episode in years. Got Vader on Boy Meets... Who else was on Boy Meets World? It was Vader, and there was somebody... I thought there was somebody else also from WWE. Might have been on that same episode. Now, the Bushwhackers were on Family Matters back in the day. There were a lot of sitcom cameos over the years. Ric Flair is... Boy, Ric Flair's having quite a night here, isn't he? Skrilla, yeah, I do. I see the comment in the chat. Skrilla's, I did see his before. Epstein didn't kill himself. Well, that's certainly one theory. Skrilla getting very deep here on the super chats. He does not believe Epstein killed himself. You know what I think? I think Epstein. It was probably 7:30 on a Monday night, and Epstein knew that Raw was coming on, and he could take no more. So I hate to break the news to you, but that's what I think probably happened there. Mike Cochran, thank you for the $9.99. Just came in a moment ago, the $9.99 super chat. Thank you very much. As we are going to pick up with the review here in just a second. I see so many Ric Flairs popping up from the new subs. I'm waiting for some of the super chats to come through because I had them paused.
Fight me.
fight me.
That's all we hear from this guy every week. Fight me.
All right, well, obviously I'm not going to be able to hear these, so we'll let some of these stream in. I'm going to put the pause on these again for a second. Guys, you can keep donating. I promise you we're gonna have more of these pop up, but we've got to move on here. We had the Dark Order against Private Party with the winners meeting SCU and the Lucha Bros for the AEW Tag Team titles at Full Gear. SCU was on commentary for this match. And I thought, you know, for what it was, I thought this was an okay match. You know, it was, you know what this was? This was a means to an end. That's what this was. This was a means to an end. They were trying to get Private Party in there in the tag team title match coming up this Saturday at Full Gear. We had Mark Quinn and Isaiah Cassidy. Dark Order was teasing the fatality. Private Party hit their silly string move and then hit the gin and juice on Stu Grayson and picked up the win. And so it is going to be SCU defending the AEW tag team titles on Saturday, not only against the Lucha Bros, who they call the number one contenders, but they said the number two contenders now are Private Party. So we're getting a triple threat match on Saturday. Then we had the highlight of the night, which, ironically, I think that was actually a nickname Chris Jericho used at one time in WWE. Not a very good one. We had the Chris Jericho video package. This was the best part of the entire show. Sammy Guevara. First of all, they interviewed a whole bunch of different people. This was meant to be almost like a comedy package heading into the pay-per-view. I guess the intent was to really make you hate Chris Jericho and think he was a dick. I could see where this would turn Jericho babyface more than anything else. I don't give a shit. I thought this was tremendously entertaining. Sammy Guevara is talking about Chris Jericho and what a wonderful guy he is. He says, you know, Jericho is the youngest AEW champion of all time at 48 years old. Of course, he's the only AEW champion of all time. That's the punchline. Then we had Soul Train Jones. Now, if you're wondering who the fuck is Soul Train Jones, it's Virgil. They interviewed Virgil. And Virgil said that Chris Jericho is like his favorite restaurant, Olive Garden. He's like the Olive Garden breadsticks. Unlimited. Boy, he does love his Olive Garden. And what's the other thing that Virgil makes? What is it? Fuck money? Isn't that what Virgil makes? In the chat? Help me out? Fuck money? We're making some of that fuck money with these super chats tonight. Then they interviewed Santana, they interviewed Ortiz, again they talked up Jericho, what a great champion he is. They had Jake Hager on screen a few times, he said absolutely nothing, he just stared into the camera, never said a word. Then they interviewed Jericho's aunt's friend from church, Patricia Bobsky, which is a play off Jericho's Clint Bobsky character from those Southpaw regional wrestling skits in WWE. This old woman, who knows where they got her from, and she's talking about Jericho. She says, you know, if I know Chris Jericho, I know he's going to beat the shit out of Cody at Full Gear. And that got a big pop from the crowd. So, yes, they interviewed Patricia Bobsky. This segment ruled. This segment was awesome. Jericho was talking about, you know, he's going to have some of the bubbly and how, you know, what a huge pressure it was on him, what a huge responsibility it was. This was awesome. This was great. I mean, fuck, we got an old woman and we got Virgil in the same segment. What more could you people ask for? This was great. It will be a national tragedy if Chris Jericho loses that championship on Saturday at Full Gear. Then we had Riho. Riho and Shanna, who just signed a 3-year deal with AEW, so congrats to her, her first big break. Taking on Jamie Hayter and Emi Sakura. The match on Saturday is going to be Riho defending the championship, the women's title against Sakura. This is a long match. Went almost 15 minutes. I think it went about 14. I thought it was very good. I thought it was one of the better women's matches they've had on TV thus far. Shanna dropped Sakura straight down on her head for a near fall with an angel's wings. Sakura hit a Vader bomb to Shanna. Riho came off the top, though, to break up the pin with a double stomp to the spine. We got some back and forth between Riho and Sakura in a preview of Saturday, and Sakura pinned the champion. She pinned Riho with a La Mahi Straw Cradle and ended what I thought overall was a very good match. Very good match. Then we had a weird Brandi Rhodes video. I don't know where this Brandi Rhodes character is going. I don't know if she's supposed... I don't know what they're doing with her. It's very... It's very strange. Very bizarre. But we had... she was talking about how she's been underestimated and she's been dismissed her entire career, no matter how hard she's worked. She's got awesome Kong with her. Between her brains and Kong's body, I guess, they're going to dominate. And she said, I'm not a bimbo. Who's got the brains now? It's very... Very weird. Very strange. We had Sean Spears taking on Brandon Cutler. Sean Spears picked up the win with a running Death Valley driver. And he tried for another DVD. Joey Janela. And let me take a pause here. Some people are saying that the stream is buffering. So let me change a setting. This might help. Give me a second here. We can't have any of that. We can't have any buffering tonight. No. We're not going to stand for that. Let me try to... Oh, it's not going to let me change that. Well, that's bizarre. That's very bizarre. Well, that's not good. So that's not going to let me change the... Oh, because I'm streaming live, it's not going to let me change the settings in real time. Well, that's of no use to me. Well, that stinks. Hopefully, this will settle. This happens sometimes with the connection. So if anybody is experiencing any issues, I apologize. We will, hopefully that will settle itself here in just a moment. But again, the Brandi Rhodes thing was very weird. We did move on to Sean Spears and Brandon Cutler. And as I said, Spears got the win with a running Death Valley driver. He tried for another DVD when the match was over. Janela, though. Joey Janela ran down for the save. Spears bailed. This was after Joey Janela disrespected Tully Blanchard on AEW Dark last night. And on AEW Dark, if anybody watched the show, Spears took a pair of pliers. He took a pair of pliers to Janela's tongue. He clamped down on Joey Janela's tongue with a pair of pliers. So I could see why Joey Janela might be a little bit upset. It's not all that... unrealistic to think he might be a little bothered by that. I'm not sure if they're adding this as a match on the pay-per-view on Saturday. I could see this being added to the pre-show. Nothing was officially announced. So, anyway, we ended up with Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page taking on Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara. And this was... The crowd was really up for this match. I enjoyed this match. I actually did. I enjoyed this match quite a bit. We had Jake Hager outside the ring. He did get involved at one point. I believe it was Kenny Omega who was coming off the ropes, and Hager hit him from behind. So that did happen. Things just got really crazy here at the end. I was trying to get things set with the stream, and I kept looking back and forth because there was so much shit going on here in this match. Pac came out at the end of the match. He delivered a low blow to Hangman Adam Page, and Chris Jericho hit the Judas Effect on Page to win the match for his team. So Jericho and Sammy Guevara pick up the win for the Inner Circle, and then things just completely broke down. Inner Circle attacks, Cody comes out, he makes the save. MJF comes out, he hits Hager with a chair, he hits Jericho in the gut with a chair, throws Jericho into the ring. Cody then hits the Crossroads, people are going nuts. John Moxley, they cut to the crowd. Moxley is coming through the crowd with a barbed wire baseball bat. All these stories were intertwining at the end of the show here. It was, you know, they would cut from one to the other to the other. I really like the way this was done. He gets into the ring. Kenny Omega slips out. He picks up a broom wrapped in barbed wire from underneath the ring. So now we have a barbed wire standoff between these two in the ring, between Omega and Moxley. Santana and Ortiz come out. They attack Moxley and Omega. That brings out the Young Bucks. They come out to make the save. Huge brawl. Just a giant brawl. They're brawling up, you know, over up the ramp onto the stage. Nick Jackson at one point climbed up onto the set. He did a huge cannonball dive, took everybody out, took Jericho out. This was just mass carnage here at the end of this show. And you know what this reminded me of, honestly? This reminded me of those old WCW Monday Nitro shows, and especially hearing Tony Schiavone's voice in the background. You know, we've got Schiavone on commentary with JR, but this reminded me of those old Nitro finishes that we used to get many years ago, where it was just a bunch of guys beating the hell out of each other, the heel faction coming out, and every just, you know, one giant brawl. And actually, I think Jim Ross was doing the sign-off, and he got cut off there at the end. The only thing missing was Sting falling from the rafters. That was the only thing that was missing from this. Sting descending from the ceiling with a baseball bat, although today it would probably be a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire. But that was the only thing that was missing here from the end of the show. I actually thought this was a hell of a finish. I thought this was a hell of a way to go off the air. I thought that this was, you know, an exciting way to go off and get people interested in hope, you know, for them, hopefully ordering the pay-per-view on Saturday. So to sum everything up, as a go-home show, I thought they did a very good job. Because the key matches on this show are Cody and Jericho and Moxley and Omega. Let's be honest. Those really are the two main matches on this show. And I thought they did a hell of a job. You know, the Cody promo was great. I thought the video package on Moxley and Omega was very well done. The standoff between them, they didn't come to blows because Santana and Ortiz interrupted. But the barbed wire confrontation, the tease, because there's no rules in the match on Saturday. They want you to think that these guys are going to use weapons and barbed wire. They're going to murder each other. So to that end, in terms of the key matches, I thought they did a hell of a job of getting people interested in seeing this pay-per-view on Saturday. And I guess we'll find out based on how the pay-per-view does. Let's switch on over to the poll, see what the results look like so far as the results populate. And it's an overwhelmingly positive reaction so far to tonight's Dynamite show. We've got over 1,200 votes in already. This poll hasn't even been up for an hour yet. Over 1,200 votes. 86% thumbs up, 14% thumbs down. So I'd call that a pretty positive response thus far. Which, you know, for them is something that they should be happy with. You know, if people are happy with the whole point of a go-home show is to get people interested in buying the pay-per-view. Are people going to be willing to pay $50 to watch this show on Saturday? That's the question. I think people have been spoiled by the WWE Network. You pay $9.99, if you do, you pay $9.99 for the network, or you get it for free, and you don't have to pay those ridiculous prices that you used to have to pay for the pay-per-views. Well, now you have a company coming at you here that is following the old-school model, where you have to pay. I'm assuming it's $50. I haven't checked the price of the pay-per-view. I think the last one was $50. Somebody will correct me in the chat if I'm wrong. But you're asking a lot of people to plunk down that kind of money for a pay-per-view these days, just because I think we're so spoiled by getting so much wrestling. There's so much wrestling on TV. Are people willing to spend $50 or $60, $55, whatever it is, of their own money to watch a wrestling pay-per-view? That's the question. I mean, how many people listening live right now? Ask yourself that question. If you watch Dynamite tonight, you like the show, are you going to be spending money? Are you pirating the show? Are you not watching the show? How many of you plan on spending your money to watch the pay-per-view on Saturday? This is going to be a good test, I think, because this is the first pay-per-view that they are doing since they launched TV on TNT. This is the first real test of how effective the television show is in getting people to pay for their product. And this weekend will tell the tale. We're going to start taking phone calls from you guys here in just a little bit. Want to hear from you guys what you thought of the show, what you think of the pay-per-view coming up this weekend. I did mention earlier that I had done the predictions this past weekend on the Sound Off, episode 624, and I would just be going through them real quick here for those who missed it, just to talk about the event coming up this weekend. We have on the pre-show, Dr. Britt Baker was added today. She'll be taking on Bea Priestley. That's a new one that was not official until this morning. I'm going to go with Bea Priestley. I don't think this feud between the two of them is over. I think this is going to continue on for a while, so I'll pick Bea. Pac is going to take on Hangman Adam Page. I've got Hangman winning that match. Riho will defend the AEW Women's Championship against Emi Sakura. Sakura got the win tonight. I don't think that happens on Saturday. I think Riho retains. We have the Young Bucks taking on Santana and Ortiz of the Inner Circle. I'm going with Santana and Ortiz for the win. And we've got Cody challenging Chris Jericho for the AEW World Championship. And I don't know, did they mention the fact that they were going to have judges in case the match went to a 60-minute draw. I don't think I heard them mention that one time tonight, unless I missed it. Which means they haven't even named any of the judges yet, which makes it very strange that they would even add that as a stipulation. I don't know why you would if you weren't going to name who the judges would be. That's kind of odd. But that is the stipulation, is that if the match goes to a 60-minute time limit draw, which it will not, then the judges at ringside are going to vote on the winner of the match. I'm going to pick Chris Jericho. I'm sticking with my original pick. I think he's going to, even despite the stip they added tonight, where if Cody doesn't win, he can never again challenge for the title, I think Jericho wins. And I would keep an eye on MJF. And then we have Kenny Omega taking on Jon Moxley in an unsanctioned lights out match where anything goes. This is likely to go on last since it is an unsanctioned match. They probably would save that for the end of the show. And I'm going, you know, in this match, I'm going with Jon Moxley. It would be the biggest win of his AEW run so far. I think he probably could use it more than Omega could. I mean, both guys are going to be fine regardless of who wins. If they go out there and have a kick-ass match, it almost doesn't even matter who wins. But I'm picking Moxley in that match. So that's your Full Gear rundown for Saturday. I'm going to unpause the alerts here, let a few of these run, and then we're going to take your phone calls. Solomonster's aunt's friend from church donated. Well, thank you. I don't think my mother had many friends from church. But apparently one of them donated. We got a whole bunch of these that are going to be running. I'm just going to let these run. Undertaker 2008 just subscribed to the channel. Thank you to the Undertaker. Big Mo. Big Mo with the $2 super chat. You the man, Jason, says Big Mo. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Let's see what else we have here. Luigi. Luigi just subscribed, the bastard child of the Mario family. Luigi just subscribed to the channel. Thank you, Luigi, for the sub. As I sip from the now stale Jack and Coke here. The Canucks Forever. Not a big fan of the Canucks. No offense to my Canadian listeners. I mean the the team. Jack Sen, super chat $1.99. Epstein was a work. He thinks Epstein was a work. How about that? Epstein might show up at the pay-per-view on Saturday. Might have faked his own death. Michael Munger, thank you for subscribing to the channel. Welcome to our crazy family here. Appreciate it. Do a few more, then we'll take your calls. Buckwheat Johnson, yes. Buckwheat Johnson, another sub to the channel. Want to say hello to everybody who is in the chat right now. We are live tonight on YouTube on the 12-year anniversary of the Solomonster Sounds Off. Glad you can all join me. Sylvan Green with a $4.99 super chat. Congrats on 12 years of the Sound Off. Here's to 12 more. Here's to 12 times 5.
Fight me. Fight me. That's all we hear from this guy every week. Fight me. He's trying to sleep at night. He wakes up in a cold sweat. Fight me.
Jacob Donnelly. Great go-home show. Very excited for Full Gear. Unscripted promos are golden. I agree. Yeah, it's one of the things about AEW, in all honesty, that they have a leg up on WWE when it comes to their promos feeling less, feeling more unfiltered. That, I think, is one of the big benefits not only of AEW, but of the NWA. That's one of the reasons I love NWA Power. You watch that show and you realize, look, not every promo is going to be great. Not every person is a great promo. Nick Aldis was stumbling over his words a few weeks ago, and he's generally a good talker. But I don't watch NWA Power, and I don't watch this show, and feel that people are being overly scripted. You know, it just feels more relaxed. It feels more genuine. I like that. I like that aspect of it. I'm going to put a pause on these donations. Let's go to your calls. We have a whole bunch of people. Mr. Ames says, did Vader drop that kit? I love that donation. Yes, he did, actually. Yes, he did. And now you can donate that amount and watch Vader drop that kid every single live stream. Isn't that great? I can't tell you that no kids were harmed in the filming of that, because I don't know what happened to that kid. But Vader didn't seem too concerned, so I'm not either. Let's go to, let's see here. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York. Fellow Brooklynite, you're on the air.
Good evening, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Congrats on 12 years. This is Jose Noah from last week.
Oh, hey, Jose. How are you doing?
Good, good. Jason, I just wanted to, I was commenting on some, one of the other podcasters this afternoon. He doesn't like AEW, but I told him, you know, AEW is pretty much our last hope for WWE to give us a decent product. Because if AEW does not succeed, then all hope is lost for WWE. Would you agree or not?
All hope is lost for WWE if AEW fails?
No, what I'm saying is that if AEW fails, you know, we're going to continue getting bad content from WWE. But if AEW gives them the competition, then there is a little bit of hope for them. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, I get your point, but, you know, I haven't seen any evidence so far that WWE gives a shit about AEW outside of wanting to hoard talent so they don't get talent. And I mean, they care about that. We heard the story about a week ago that Eric Bischoff, before he got shit-canned, was being asked by Vince McMahon what he thought about the AEW product. So to say the WWE and to say that Vince McMahon, let's say, doesn't care about AEW is bullshit. We know they do. We know they're paying attention. But we haven't seen any evidence at all yet that it's impacting the way they do business or that it's impacting the way they do TV. So if AEW were to, let's say, flop and go away, well, surely nothing changes anyway in WWE. You know, but if AEW gets bigger, and I'll be honest with you, I like AEW and I like the product for the most part that they're putting out so far. And I like doing these streams and it's, you know, there's a lot of similarities, but there's also enough differences in the product that I enjoy, like the promos that I was just talking about. I don't see this big explosion on the horizon for AEW. I really don't. I mean, I'd like to think that there will be and that it'll light a fire under WWE and they'll take notice and say, well, boy, you know, they're getting too big for their britches. We better do something about that. I don't want to say AEW is peaked. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but I really don't see this mass, you know, explosion from where they are right now. So if WWE hasn't really changed the way they do TV and changed their product, you know, what's going to really change in the next 3 months? What's going to change in the next 6 months? They have their way of doing TV. They have their formula. Nothing is going to change. Certainly not because of AEW, I don't think. Let's go to Clearfield, Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
Hey, Jason. How you doing? This is Zach.
Hey, Zach. How are you?
I'm doing good. I got two questions here for you. The first one regarding with Chris Jericho and the Cody situation. My friends were bitching about Cody, saying that he's going to win the title automatically. And I still think that Chris Jericho is going to win. I want to hear your thoughts about that. And also, what are your thoughts about Shanna? I like what I'm seeing from Shanna so far these last couple weeks. I think she's been very good for the AEW Women's Division. What are your thoughts on her?
I'm impressed. And I said this when I did the review last week, and thank you for the call. But I'm impressed by Shanna. I like the match that she had on television. Was it last week? Was it last week? I lose track of time. I think it was last week. I was very impressed, and then I heard the news that she had signed a 3-year deal with AEW, which I'm happy to hear. I think she'll be a good addition to the division, and she was good tonight, too. I really enjoyed the match that she was in tonight as well. So I think that's a good pickup for them. They get a few more like her, and they'll have a solid women's division, because I think up until this point, the women's division has been one of the weak points. Unlike the tag team division, I think the women's division has been lacking, and now it seems like things might be starting to pick up. Whether, you know, they've got Emi Sakura now, and they've got Shanna. We didn't see Britt Baker tonight, but you know, the more that we, I don't know where Penelope Ford is. We haven't seen her, From what I've seen of Penelope Ford, she's pretty good. So I don't know why we're not seeing more of her, unless she's just not signed. But hopefully things will start to pick up in the women's division. Let's go to Jersey City, New Jersey. You're on the air.
Jersey, Jersey. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Hi, sorry. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hi, Jason. How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call. Happy 12 years for the podcast.
Thank you.
I'm being a big fan. My thoughts are in regards to, how do I put this? I've been seeing a lot of criticism unfairly, I feel like, with AEW. For example, like for this episode where I saw, and I didn't hear the whole podcast about the Bosch Black Arrow spot that looked like a 3 count when it was kicked out. And a lot of these different criticisms about how they should do this or how they should that. In your thoughts, is one of the good things about pro wrestling, and not just AEW, but in terms of the whole wrestling landscape today, is it good to make mistakes when it comes to stuff like that? To show a kind of authenticity to the promotions? I know for certain things that mistakes happen. Is that a good thing, or does it depend on the circumstances?
No, I don't think it's a good thing at all. There's a lot of ways you can show authenticity on the show. That's like saying if a referee in the NFL makes a bad call, and God knows we see that all the time, well, that's a good thing, because that's authentic, and it's human error, and people make mistakes, and so why should AEW be any different? I would like it where nobody made any mistakes at all, because it's not fair to the wrestlers. Now, I'm sure the referee didn't mean to, and I've met Bryce before. He seems like a nice guy, and this is his big break, and I'm happy for him. It's not like he's botching things left and right. I'm sure he feels really badly about it, and it just sucks for the wrestlers, because now people are talking about the botch finish, and what were they supposed to do? Was that planned? Was that not planned? Instead of just focusing on the match itself. So I don't think, no, they don't need to have more botches to make it seem genuine, because it just takes the attention away from where it should be. I think it's terrible. It happens. Shit happens. People make mistakes. I wouldn't call that a good thing. Let's go to Randolph, Massachusetts. You're on the air.
Hey, Jason. What's going on?
What is going on? Who are we talking to here?
My name's Dylan.
Hey, Dylan, thank you for calling in. What's your question? What'd you think of the show tonight?
I actually enjoyed it. It was pretty good. Enjoying the show every week. So, I just had a quick question. So, after they're on the pay-per-view this Saturday, if Cody loses on, where does he go next, do you think? Because they won't have any more title shots. Do you think he should form a tag team with MJF and maybe play it out a little more before MJF actually turns heel?
It's possible. I said this was like the Tim Storm story from the NWA show. And, last week on the NWA show, we had Eli Drake come forward and offer to be a tag team partner with Tim Storm so they can go after the tag team titles. So I feel like if they did that with Cody and MJF, it would be following too closely to what NWA is doing. And then people would think, oh, they're just copying off the NWA. I don't know where they're going with this. If let's say Cody does lose, I don't believe for a second that he will never again be allowed to challenge for the championship. The question is, how do they get there? How long are they willing to wait? If they don't put the title on him this weekend, would they go another year before building him back up for a championship match? I don't see the rush. Cody is the biggest babyface in the company. I don't care what you think of Cody personally. I don't care what you think of him. Oh, he's an executive and now he's pushing himself. When he goes out there, listen to the reactions that he gets. He's getting a genuine superstar reaction from this audience. I don't know that if Cody were to step in front of, a WWE crowd, he would get that big of a pop. Maybe he would. But in front of that AEW audience, he's a rock star. When his music hits and he walks out, we've seen it every single week so far on TV. So, to that end, you could justify putting the championship on him. I wouldn't do it. If he loses, where do they go? He probably sulks for a while. He'll be upset. He'll probably end up in a feud with, I don't want to say a mid-card feud, but he'll end up in a feud with somebody. And I would imagine they keep him away from the title picture for at least a few months. Maybe 6 months. Yeah. Go with Omega, go with any number of other people who could challenge for the championship next. Wardlow. I keep forgetting about Wardlow. I think we're going to see Wardlow on Saturday. I don't know in what capacity. I don't know what he's going to be doing. I don't know if he's going to be a babyface. I don't know if he's going to be a heel. Keep forgetting about fucking Wardlow. Let's take another call here. Let's go to the home of NWA Power, which I was just talking about, Atlanta, GA. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up? It's DJ. So I just wanted to make a point and really just get your thoughts. So I don't see NXT as really like sustainable for television now versus AEW, that is. Now with AEW, I see a lot of personality, characters commingling, teaming up, forming factions, and sort of seeing how they interact in the environment with one another. Whereas in NXT, I like the show. It has good wrestling, but that's all I'm getting is good wrestling. I'm not getting a lot of characters, personality. You might get a few of that here and there, especially with Tommaso Ciampa, Velveteen Dream, or when Johnny Gargano went through his Spider-Man 3 phase. But
yeah.
it doesn't necessarily that, seem you know what? To hold me on. That.
Hold on. That's a great point. I hadn't really put that together in my head, but that's kind of true. Actually, that really was. That's a great way of describing it. Gargano went through his almost like his Tobey Maguire phase in.
Yeah. But the point is that do you see NXT sort of evolving and adding in more character development, character work? Because to be honest with you, I don't know the difference between. I guess Finn Balor's personality and somebody like Bobby Fish. You know, I feel like they're too similar and they have good matches.
Yeah.
I just want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And we really haven't seen too much of Bobby Fish's personality in general in NXT. The thing about, AEW and NXT, tonight, I think one of the reasons I really like the show tonight, I mentioned the Jericho package. Now, you could debate whether or not Jericho, should he be, getting laughs from people? He's supposed to be a heel, and this is going to make him a babyface. People are going to like him more. Yeah, but this is classic heel shit. I mean, what he did tonight is not really out of the ordinary for Jericho. But what I liked about it was entertaining, and it was an example of something I think that was missing in the early weeks of the show. So now we're getting more of these personality profiles. We had actually a couple of good video packages tonight. The Jericho thing was friggin' awesome. That's the sort of thing I'd like to see them incorporating more into the show. NXT, I haven't seen tonight's episode, so I can't speak yet to what they did tonight. But up until this point, since NXT has moved to USA, we haven't gotten many segments like that. Like the Jericho one tonight. We don't really get a lot of that on NXT. I agree with the caller. It's sort of been... Matt, you'll have, the occasional segment where somebody comes out and cuts a quick promo, but not too many of them. It's match, 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 match. Now, last week, I will say this, despite that, I think the last 2 weeks before tonight, the last 2 weeks head to head, I enjoyed both shows. If you ask me to pick a winner, what do I think was the better show overall? The answer is NXT. I really enjoy, especially last week, I thought NXT just kicked all kinds of ass. I love that show. And it was still a very wrestling-heavy show, but they had the big women's brawl, and they built up the War Games match. And I just think NXT has been firing on all cylinders. So of course, I say this, and the last 2 weeks, I think NXT has been the winner. But I do think NXT is going to have to incorporate more of that personality-type stuff, because you can only do so many matches, one right after the other... You got to break it up. You gotta have some vignettes. You've got to have some video package of people doing something outside the arena or something. You've got to have more stuff like that to kind of break up the monotony of just constant match after match after match. So I would agree with that. Let's go to Westminster, California. You're on the air.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm Charles.
Hey, Charles.
Anyway... We're talking about AEW here.
The only star power AEW has is Cody and Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega. I don't see anybody else competing for that title. And Jericho's going to keep the belt, but the only way he's going to keep the belt from MJF Screwjob. That's the only thing that makes sense to happen.
All right. I don't disagree. I mean, that would make sense. I would say, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. He's hurt right now. We haven't seen him on TV. But what do you think of someone like the Luchasaurus? As popular as he was the last time we saw him, do you see him as being maybe a big breakout star who could become a big name on AEW TV?
Yeah, I see him maybe becoming a big name star, but Hangman Page is not cutting it very well. I don't see him, but the big money match AEW is going to go for is Cody versus Omega. That's their big money match, and that's the feud they should start over again.
All right, and I think we're probably many, many months away from that.
But have MGF screw Cody over, so that makes sense, so he can get him back in the title picture. There'll be a stipulation when he gets another title shot. Then he eventually wins the belt, he feels with MGF, feels with him for a long run, then him and Omega go for the title.
Okay, yeah, no, I agree. I think that could work. I think that could work. And Cody and Omega, I think, is something they could revisit. We've seen the two of them butt heads before, not in AEW. But I think that's way down the road. I mean, I don't think we're anywhere close. And maybe if Cody doesn't win on Saturday and they do this long, drawn-out storyline where he's kind of despondent and he's got to figure out a way to get out of the dumps and work his way back up somehow into title contention, maybe at some point, you know, there's a clash between him and Omega in his quest to get back into title contention. Maybe that's where we end up getting that match. But I still think that match is many months away. Let me unpause these alerts because we've had a whole bunch more come in. And again, I can't hear them, but hopefully you guys can. So let me play them here. I've had a bunch of new subscriber alerts popping up. Brian Powers, thank you for the sub. Ric Flair, thanks you too. Ric Flair looking very excited tonight. I cannot laugh when I see that. It's impossible. GTA Fan 77, thank you for the sub. I'm just perusing the chat here, all the messages that I've missed out on here in these last few minutes. Been a lot of chat activity going on tonight, fight, which is always fun.
Fight me. Fight me. That's all we hear from this guy every week. Fight me. He's trying to sleep at night. He wakes up in a cold sweat. Fight me.
Oofman rules. Congrats on 12 years. Will you address the Cornette Ryan situation on the Sound Off? I don't think there's much to address. You know, the Impact actually snitch tagged Jim Cornette. Impact, the official Impact Twitter, tagged Jim Cornette in the stuff where I saw the clip with Joey Ryan and Ken Shamrock. Ken Shamrock grabbed his dick, not his own dick. He grabbed Joey Ryan's dick. And Joey Ryan did the whole dick thing where he kind of turned Shamrock.
TVs, I just want to, you know, bash myself in the head with a hammer. Because they're just long, useless, time-wasting bullshit days where
Big
you
Show
sit around all day for some friggin' idea that absolutely sucks.
Big Show's looking rough in that donation. Christopher Amaro, thank you for the $14.99 super chat. Congrats on 12 years, he says. I appreciate that. Yeah, Big Show's looking rough there in that photo. But yeah, I saw the Joey Ryan, Ken Shamrock thing. I didn't like it. I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan. I mean, Ken Shamrock, guy's a former UFC champion. This guy should be in the WWE Hall of Fame. That's where he should be. He's doing dick flips for Joey Ryan? Of all the people to be selling that move, I mean, Ken Shamrock, are you kidding me? Yeah, no, I can't say I'm a fan of that. Just going to put a pause on these alerts here, get to some more of your calls. Got a whole bunch here. Go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. You're on the air.
Hey, Solid Monster. This is James. How you doing?
Good. How are you, James?
I'm doing all right, my friend. I watched AEW tonight, and I thought it was a good show. They built up the two big matches, Omega's match and Cody Rhodes, and Cody and Jericho. If Cody don't win Saturday, it's not the end of the world, I think. AEW will do what they got to do. And, you know, I just want to say, fans need to, some of these people think that if AEW's been on, they're thinking that it's a wrestling boom. And I told my friend yesterday, he's a big, you know, fan, and I said, AEW's a niche. It's not, this ain't no wrestling boom. It's, I look at AEW and NXT as something to watch on Wednesday. If they do go head-to-head, and I like both of them, but I don't look as a wrestling boom, because I heard you say something about that earlier about, you know, AEW's not like setting the world on fire, you know. But I just want to see what you think about that, you know.
Well, I mean, they're not. I wouldn't say they're setting the world on fire. I think they have their audience. If they can keep their audience around 1 million, I think they would probably, and TNT probably would be happy with that. We'll see if they shoot back up. Obviously, they got demolished. Both shows got demolished by the World Series last week. 23 million people watch baseball. This week is going to be very interesting, because I don't think there was any real sports competition, major sports competition tonight. No World Series, none of that. So it's kind of back to business. And NXT is coming off a week where the NXT stars invaded SmackDown and invaded Monday Night Raw. And you have to think that there are people who are going to tune in or would have tuned into NXT tonight thinking, hey, we're going to see Raw guys or we're going to see SmackDown guys invading at Full Sail. Now, I didn't watch NXT yet. I don't know if that happened. My guess is it didn't, because they're off on a European tour. So I don't think they would even be able to until probably the week before Survivor Series. They're going to be away for at least the next week, week and a half, as if their travel schedule didn't suck enough last week. They have to ship these guys off now to the UK for a whole bunch of shows. But you wonder if that is going to help NXT. NXT has lost every single week head-to-head so far in the last month. It's kind of embarrassing, to be honest. I didn't expect that. I figured there would be a back and forth. I did not think that AEW would be sort of crushing them every single week. Now, if NXT can't get a win this week over AEW with everything that happened on TV this past week, I don't think that, I mean, never say never, but it doesn't look good for them ever overtaking AEW if they can't beat them this week. I mean, wouldn't you agree? So that's my thought on that. Let's go to Chicago, Illinois. You're on the air.
Boris from Chicago.
Chicago, what's going on?
Yeah, I normally hear you on Wade's show tonight. I'm on your show tonight.
Yeah.
Something that people haven't mentioned, probably because not everybody's seen it. Jericho is doing double duty because he did a video for the Painmaker. Earlier this week, now he's doing the video package for AEW. And then we have Tim Storm going through slightly the same story, possibly that Cody might be going through with if he loses this match, not asking for another title shot. And Tim Storm is going through that in AWA. We're thinking about the parallels that we got going on. That wasn't possible until now.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned all of those things earlier in terms of the Tim Storm thing and Jericho wrestling Tanahashi at Wrestle Kingdom. That had that big video. It was a power struggle, I think, that came on, and he issued the challenge to Tanahashi. The Painmaker is coming back. It's going to be the Painmaker against the Ace. Yeah, Jericho. If you think about it, in terms of his wrestling career, he's kind of living his best wrestling life, right? I hate that expression, but I mean, I would use it for Jericho in this case. He's living his best wrestling life right now because he's free to do whatever the fuck he wants. He's got a big fat contract to work for this brand new company. He's the world champion there. They surrounded him with people for the first time in his career. He's running his own faction. Think of all the years Jericho has been in wrestling. ECW, WCW, WWE. He's never led his own faction until now, which is almost impossible to believe, but it's true. He was never even officially part of a faction. You'd have to probably go back to his days in Mexico. So he's got all that going on for him. He's on TNT every week. He's got every new catchphrase that he drops. He's got a new t-shirt coming out. And he gets to cut his own deal with New Japan to come and go as he pleases, and now he's going to work the Tokyo Dome in front of 50,000 people and wrestle Hiroshi Tanahashi. Not bad. Not a bad gig, if you can get it. So I'd say Jericho's in a pretty good... And plus, whatever he's doing with Fozzy, I don't know if he's still going on tour or what he's doing with his music. But Jericho is keeping busy. Yeah, somebody mentioned Seth Rollins in the chat. Unlike Seth Rollins at the moment, Chris Jericho is living his best wrestling life. Let's go to the great state of Texas. Let's go to Dallas. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, Texas.
Hey, Jason, this is Mondo.
Hey, how are you?
Been listening to your show since middle school.
Oh, wow. Now, how long ago is that? How many years?
2007. Actually, it was during the middle of middle school when I actually first heard you, because there's a little, not recession, but a little resurgence of wrestling here. Funny enough, I used to see a lot of kids wear DX shirts, which was kind of bizarre.
Well, that was, well, 2007 was... I think that was, well, that was around the time Jericho and, or not Jericho, Triple H and Shawn were doing the second kind of rebirth of DX, right? They were doing the glow sticks and all that around then?
I like to forget some of it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So that's cool though. So 2007, yeah. So you've basically been with the show since the very beginning, since the show started in November of that year.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's wild. It's just like yesterday. I was just in school listening to you on your... What was it that you used to work on?
Well, you mean in terms of where the show would air?
Yeah. Where you air? Because I know you used to do Apple Podcasts, and we used to download that during school, or at least one or two friends.
Well, what's weird is that when I first started the show, I don't even know if this site still exists anymore, but there was a website called TalkShoe, and I used to host the show on TalkShoe.com. I had my own page. And it wasn't any kind of a thing like a feed. Like now, you have the RSS feed and it just sort of pushes out. People would have to go to this website and download the shows from TalkShoe. And then I quickly, after several months, I got away from there and eventually migrated over to Podbean, which we still call home today.
Oh, wow, that's cool. It's crazy to think where you are. Here you are reviewing a major wrestling show on another network that's not WWE. And here I am in the middle of making a short film.
Ah, very nice. Very nice. What is the short film about?
It's actually out in the desert. It's actually concerning like two young people, something like that. Very Oscar worthy, if I have to
say.
Oh,
sure. Of course.
We just got done.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. By the way, quick story. I was in New York, and I don't know if you saw this on the internet. There's an AEW billboard in Times Square.
Yes, I did.
Chris Jericho.
I did. I saw Jericho's photo. I think on Twitter or Instagram, he put a photo out. He took a picture of himself standing on the street, and in the background is this gigantic Chris Jericho. I guess it was promoting AEW on TNT, which, I mean, in the middle of Times Square is a huge placement for them. So that was pretty cool.
Which is funny, actually, because I was in New York for my uncle's daughter's wedding. And funny enough, when we were actually at this after party in this really trendy restaurant, believe it or not, the only person that approaches me about wrestling was this girl who was friends with my uncle's daughter, who's the hostess. She was telling me, hey, have you saw this new show that's coming on TNT? It's called All Elite Wrestling something. And I said, whoa, wow, you must have really been following it. And she said, oh, yeah, I love wrestling. I love New Japan, WWE, NXT. She even loves AAA. Can you believe that?
Well, she's a keeper.
Well, not just that, but she's also the makeup artist for Stranger Things, believe it or not.
Interesting. So any thoughts on tonight's show?
Oh, it was very good. I was like, literally, I thought the Go Home show really sold me on the pay-per-view. Like you said, the ending felt very WCW, but I thought with JR's voice also, it was like a mix of WCW and WWF, you know, with the NWO coming out or Austin, you know, ruining McMahon's plan, you know, that kind of stuff. Really sold the pay-per-view for me, and yeah, it was really good, I gotta say. Masterpiece.
Masterpiece. Well, that's I'm going to let you go. That's a strong word, but I'm glad you enjoyed the show. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the billboard, though, because... Yeah, in Times Square, to get a big billboard like that is great publicity. I'm sure that was a Turner thing. They probably have the real estate on the billboards out there. So there's another one for Jericho. Now he's got his face plastered on billboards in the middle of Times Square. It's not bad. Not bad for Jericho. Let's take a few more. Actually, you know what? Let me, if we've got any new subscriber alerts, let me run these so they'll pop up. Oh, look at that. Right away. MarkJack32 subbed to the channel. Thank you very much. Super chats are open here in these final minutes. If anybody wants to send one in, the dollar amounts for the special donations are down below in the description of the video. And we'll run those here as we wind down here on this 12-year anniversary of the podcast, which it just so happened that I was going live tonight for the AEW stuff. So when I realized that, I said, this is awesome. I get to spend the 12-year anniversary with all of you tonight, which is great. And then we'll keep celebrating this weekend. I am going to be doing, by the way, I'll be back here live on Saturday night after the Full Gear pay-per-view. So there will be a podcast on Sunday, but before then, come back here on Saturday night. Once the pay-per-view goes off the air, I will be back here going live for my full review, probably take more calls, do the usual deal there. So that will be coming up on Saturday night. Let's go to, I want to pick a different state. Why don't we go to the state of North Carolina? You're on the air.
Hey, Jason, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Doing good. I was at the show tonight, so first time, you know, being at an AEW show, it was definitely lively throughout the whole show. And I'll say this, you know, WWE did have a show a couple months ago, Clash of Champions, but it's kind of nice to see the wrestling promotion come quickly to the Carolinas because it's, you know, kind of been neglected over the last 10 to 15 years. But, I mean, a lot of fun tonight. Had a great time with my friends. And, I mean, the product, I had a fun time with it. The only problem I had, you know, I feel like the women's division still is a work in progress, but I mean, just the event, it's a whole lot more looser than the WWE event, and I can't wait for them to come back to Charlotte because, I mean, I had a lot of fun, and I think AEW hopefully can continue the progress that they've had over the past months.
Let me ask you this, because I made the comment earlier. It seemed to me this crowd was really up all night long, just loud as all hell. I couldn't tell because it was mostly darkened. I mean, was the building mostly full, or were there pockets or sections of empty seats?
Well, that was something I was talking about with the guys. I went, you know, I looked on Ticketmaster the day before, and just seeing, like, I was thinking, no way, there's a lot of empty seats, and I was afraid of that. Then when we get to the arena, you know, the Bojangles Coliseum was where they had some of the old Starrcade events, like Starrcade 93. It's, you know, that Coliseum's been there since the 50s, and so the parking isn't as big as it would be at, like, a Spectrum Center or something like that. And it was just packed. I was like, oh, my gosh, something happened or Ticketmaster was wrong. Like, the whole hard camera that you saw on TV, pretty much everything up to that was completely filled up completely. And then the back, everything was pretty much filled 90%. Now, behind the hard camera, a lot of empty seats in that end. But, like, other than that, it was filled up to the brims at the Coliseum.
Yeah, no, I mean, it came across, I thought, just, you know, audibly on television, it came across like the crowd was pretty much up for the entire show, which was great. You know, I mean, you never know what to expect when they come to some of these like non-major cities. But it was pretty loud all night long, and that just goes to show, you know, when you watch a show and the crowd is really up for it, in contrast to what we saw on Monday. Because, and I only bring up Monday because we had a second NXT invasion. Everybody thought it was so great on Friday, and then Monday came along, and I think one of the reasons why it wasn't so well received, one of the many reasons, was because the crowd at the Nassau Coliseum, and somebody called it the Nassau Mausoleum, and I loved it. I'm going to steal that and use that on Sunday. Adam, shout out to him if he's listening. He called it the Nassau Mausoleum because it was true. It was like a tomb on Monday night, and it really kills the vibe of the show. So tonight, I thought really helped the show a lot by having a crowd like that.
Yeah, the crowd was over for a lot of the guys. Cody, of course, was easily got the loudest pop of the night. Adam Page was completely over. A lot of cowboy shit chants, which was pretty funny. And Jericho was over. But, I mean, it was a lot of fun tonight. I recommend anyone going out to an AEW show that's in the area. I know they've got Nashville coming up, Champaign, Illinois. I had a lot of fun, and I recommend it for anyone that's a big wrestling fan. And also, Jason, Just wanted to congratulate you on 12 years. I've been listening since my junior year of high school, which would have been 2013.
Thank you, sir. I feel so old when people tell me they've been listening to me since they were in school.
Yeah, well, I mean, you helped me get through some of the days, you know, especially with me. There's not as many wrestling fans out here as maybe there would have been 20, 30 years ago. So definitely kind of helps when I listen to you just get some of the wrestling news from you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that a lot.
Well, thank you. You have a good one.
All right, you too. So that was North Carolina. I see we have a few more alerts coming in. Shout out, by the way, to Mish of Wrestling Soup. A fine show. You can tune in Thursday nights at 9:30, I believe it is. He's in the chat right now. Let's activate these alerts and let these run. Laxus Dryer has super chatted $4.99. Congratulations, and you're awesome.
TVs,
a big show.
I just want to, you know, bash myself in my hammer because they're just long, useless, time wasting bullshit days where you sit around all day for some friggin' idea that absolutely sucks.
Poor Big Show. He looks so haggard there. Poor. Look at Big Show. Big Show looks like he's watched like 5 episodes of Monday Night Raw in a row. Consecutively. That's from Wrestling Soup. Have a brew on me, Jason. All love. Again, shout out and love to Mish and the boys at Wrestling Soup. Another fine show. Let's take 2 more. How about that? We'll take 2 more. We'll run the rest of these alerts and we'll head on out of here. Again, there is still time. If you want to send an alert in, you may do so and get your shout out here on screen. Let's go to, let's see here. And we got all these lines jammed up here. Why don't we go to Rochester, New York? We'll head upstate. How about that? Rochester, you're on the air.
Hey, Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm good. This is LC from Rochester. Congratulations on 12 years.
Thank you.
I've been listening since about 2011. I'm not even sure how I even discovered you. It was a happy accident, I guess. But I am a promoter of the show. So whenever I find a new wrestling fan, I definitely make sure I drop your podcast because I definitely am a fan.
That's just awesome.
Quick question about AEW. After this pay-per-view, I looked it up. I'm not sure when their next pay-per-view is coming up. So I got to thinking about, you know, when they're going to start having their title matches, and I assume that they might be on TV. So to kind of break it up, what are your thoughts on them, like, not only introducing a second title, but start having some of those title matches on AEW Dark, especially for some of the secondary titles?
Title matches on AEW Dark. I think you need to throw one on there every now and then. I wouldn't make a habit out of it just because they have 2 hours of TV to fill up on TNT. I think that should be their priority right now. But I don't see any reason why they can't, you know, throw a women's title match on there, tag team title match. I think at some point they are going to have a secondary title. I don't know if they would call it a television title, if they want to come up with some other name for it. It's almost like you're running out of names. You would think U.S. title, national title, North American title, those are all being used right now. Those were used by WWE. Those were used by NWA. So if you don't want to repeat names, I'm sure Cody can come up with some other name, maybe from the old school. I don't know what it would be. Call it the Dream. You know what? I had an idea many years ago. This is before NXT unveiled the North American title. And I said NXT is in desperate need of a secondary championship because we were seeing more people on the show and they had nothing to fight for. And I said, you know what would make sense? They have the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. That was the idea that they went with. Before that, I said they ought to have the Dream title. I just like the way that's... And this is before Velveteen Dream. I just like the way that sounded, and it would be a tribute to Dusty Rhodes, and I said they should have a secondary championship, and they should call it the Dream title. And they didn't do that, and instead they went with the tag team tournament. But, hey, why not have a Dream title in AEW? Some kind of tribute to Dusty Rhodes. I'm sure Cody would love to do it. That could be one possibility. But at some point they'll have to have some kind of secondary title as the roster... I assume as the roster expands and fills out a little bit more. So, just an idea. Let's go to Longview, Washington. You're on the air.
I call a monster.
How are you?
Hey, good. I'm a big AEW fan right now.
Well, you've called into the correct show then. If we're talking about AEW.
Trust me, I listen to you. I listen to KD too. When he does his AEW, I listen to both sides of about what's wrong and everything. Like tonight was a perfect go home show. It's better than WWE's.
Well, I mean that's kind of a low bar.
Yeah, true. But so I feel like they need to bring more of the women out. Like have just a show for the do more promos with the women, like Riho and I'm getting that Awesome Kong and her manager fight from TNA.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think as time goes on, we'll probably see them, you know, doing more stuff with the women. I think there's still women we haven't seen on TV that they've signed or that are going to be signed. I mean, Shanna just got signed. We've been seeing her the last 2 weeks. They need more women. I mean, they need more bodies than what they have. So, yeah, we're only a month into the TV show. We'll see who else they put on TV. But, you know, I think look, the last 2 weeks have been a step in the right direction. I've not been impressed up until the last 2 weeks with their women's division. But the last 2 weeks, it feels kind of like they may be turning a corner a little bit. So that's a good sign. Let's see here. Let's go to Indianapolis, Indiana. You're on the air.
Yo, Salamonster, what's up?
What's going on, my friend? Who am I talking to?
Christian from Indianapolis.
Christian, what did you think of the show tonight?
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. I like pretty much the brawl at the end. All the pretty much the main guys, the Jericho, Omega, Moxley stuff is always cool. But like, just since it's like what the fifth or sixth week, I was wanting to get your take. Do you think that down the road they'll probably get guys that like pretty much? Or like the tanks or like a grounded guys for like some of the tag team or the mid card matches, like a APA or a Fire and Ice or a Harlem Heat. I mean, they have pretty good tag teams, but it's like with everybody doing flips and like a lot of the quick stuff, it's like it seems like there's nobody to ground them. And like the one thing that made Nitro so cool, like in the beginning, was you had kind of a variety show. Like not everybody did some of the same stuff and it was just that smooth variety. You think that'll ever hit AEW anytime soon?
I hope so. Let me ask you this. Have you been watching the NWA Power Show?
Love it.
All right. Well, that's a great example. Because if you watch the NWA show, they have a team like the Dawsons, mm-hmm. right? There's nothing overly special about the Dawsons. I mean, no offense to the Dawsons, but there's nothing overly impressive or special about them. They're two big guys. They kind of look like they are... You know,
they fight.
Yeah, they're like brawlers, but there's nothing overly impressive if you just look at them. They're like a good base, let's say, for some of the smaller guys. But you also in NWA have a guy like a Ricky Starks. So I like their roster is very small. They're going to have to add people to that roster, but they have a good mix of people. And I think in AEW, you don't just want to have flips. You don't just want to have, you don't just want to have the big moves. So yeah, I would like to see them, you know, have a little more variety in that respect. I think that would be good to see. I think that would be a good point.
It's just one of those things where it's like, as much as I love the matches on there, it's almost as if everybody just looks at like they're inspired by Shawn Michaels and they're so busy looking at Shawn versus Brett, they forget about Shawn versus Taker, Shawn versus Diesel. Like, the difference in, like, the opponents make a whole better match, if you really look at it from that end. It's like, they just missing the tanks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, and AEW has... I'm not saying AEW doesn't have variety, but in the tag team division, a lot of the teams do come off as, you know, they do a lot of the same... And this is the problem I hope they don't fall into, like, in WWE. Where everybody feels like they have to do a dive. Got to do a dive out of the ring. Got to do a dive through the ropes. Got to do the same moves. You don't have to do that. Not every team has to do dives. Not every team has to have these giant, you know, these giant aerial, you know, moves in their arsenal, so they can get a little more variety in that division. I think that would
becoming a new cookie sheet.
Yeah, basically. So I think it's a point well taken. Anything else before I let you go?
That's it. Just thank you for taking my call, and I'm gonna just keep enjoying Solid Monster like I have for like the past 9 years. I found you looking just through everybody's commentary on the January 4th head to head with TNA and WWE. So,
oh wow,
been a fan ever since.
That was yep. January of 2010. I remember that well.
Yes, it was.
Yes. Well, thank you.
You have a nice one.
Thank you. You too. Have a good night.
Yep. Take care.
All right. Yeah, man, I remember that. That was quite the slaughter when Impact moved to Monday nights. That did not last very long before they were limping back to, what was it, Thursdays, right? They went to Mondays, and then I believe it wasn't long after before they went to Thursday. Let's take, we got one more alert here. There's Vader dropping that poor bastard. $5 donation. Salamasa wanted to thank you for getting me back into wrestling back in 20. Let me run that again, actually. I didn't see the whole thing.
Listen, bro.
Back in 2016.
Super chat on a poll, bro. A super chat.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It's Russo on a poll. There's your preview. $20 and $20 and above. You can get your Russo on a poll donation. That's a little taste. That's a little preview. So thank you to Shane for the donation. I appreciate it. And Jeffrey Lyons, thank you for the sub. Thank you, everybody, who has contributed tonight. I really appreciate it. We'll keep these donations around for the future. I'll try to figure out why the hell I can't hear them. That way I can adjust the volume up or down. But thank you for everybody who has donated. Everybody, hey, if you didn't give this video a thumbs up or a like, that would be awesome. If you can at least do that, that would be great. I appreciate that. And no, this was a good show tonight. This was a good go-home show for the pay-per-view. The two key matches I thought were promoted well. The rest of it was just, I don't know, the rest of it was just kind of there. But the two main matches, I thought they did a very good job of promoting. And so we got Full Gear on Saturday. I'll be back with a live stream when that show is over. And then episode 625 of The Sound Off coming up on Sunday. Let's flash the Twitter poll, see where we are here in terms of the votes. We're 1,600 votes in, and the numbers are still the same. 84% thumbs up, 16% thumbs down. So an overwhelmingly positive response tonight for AEW Dynamite. I am looking forward to following up with NXT tomorrow, because, like I said, I thought NXT of the two shows was the better show the last 2 weeks. And they're coming off the whole invasion of Raw and SmackDown, so very curious to see how they followed up on things tonight with NXT. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. I appreciate it. I will see you again on Saturday. And let me just say this final word here for everybody who sent messages today about the 12-year anniversary, because today is 12 years, in case you've been living under a rock and you didn't hear it tonight. This is the 12-year anniversary of the podcast. When I started the show, it was meant to be a 5 or 10-minute audio hotline for SEScoops.com. That was it. That was all it was meant to be. I figured, hey, I'll fuck around a little bit, some extra content for the website, some original content, and it has morphed into more than I ever imagined it would be. Live streams, meetups all over the country, other opportunities for me. I'll talk more about that this weekend. All the cool things, you know, the different opportunities that it's afforded me, all the interviews I've done. And it's all because of your support. Wouldn't be sitting here talking about the show right now if it wasn't for you guys. So my biggest thank you goes out to all of you. And here's to 12 more years beyond tonight. So until then, be well, stay safe. I'll see you guys back here on Saturday night for Full Gear and 625 on Sunday. Until then, take care, guys.